My name's Adam Koop. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater Christian Church. And it's been a heavy week, hasn't it? We may not feel it here in Laramie so much, or we may feel it very heavily here in Laramie, but it's been a heavy week. Not only has it been a heavy week with news of Louisiana, Minnesota, Dallas, and then any other kind of thing that's going on, political news, but I've talked to several of you folks here already today that it's just not been a stellar week for you. Whether it be attitudes you've carried throughout the week of not wanting to do something or some really terrible life situation happening for you, it has not been a good week for you. So the good news is that the teaching that we're going to teach today, that we're going to hear from Jesus today, is going to lend itself to this not so great week. And hopefully do some good for you this morning. Sound good? Okay. It's always fun trying to get up and teach to people when there's heavy stuff going on all around. And this is probably the first and last place you want to be. Does that make sense? You want to be here, you want to hear from God, you want to know what's going on in your situation, but yet there's a part of you that says, I don't know as I do want to hear that. Because it might require some life change, it might require some action on my part. So we're going to teach, we're in a teaching series in John, and John, the entire book of John, the only reason John wrote John, he states it, and he says, it's that you might believe in Jesus. So John unpacks this life of Jesus. John unpacks this Jesus walking with his disciples, Jesus healing, Jesus teaching, Jesus doing all of these miraculous things. And the only reason he writes this is that you and I might believe in the person of Jesus. And so that's what we've been going through since January. And I promised that we'd go through it for what, 4 years, 11 years? I don't remember. I lie a lot. It's a bad thing for a pastor to do. I'm working on it, all right? I'm working on it. But we won't be going that long. We'll finish it up. I think we're set to finish it up by October. So if you're tired of hearing from John, tired of John telling you that you need to believe in Jesus, it'll end in October, okay? This is a tough room. Caleb was right. So we are going to be talking. We're going to be finishing up chapter 16 today. And if you have a Bible, I'd love for you to read it with me. I'd love for you to read John 16. We're going to be in verses 16 through 33. And if you don't have a Bible, if you don't have a copy of a Bible, we want to give you one. There's Bibles out on the table right next to the block party cards. Take one of each, all right? Take a Bible, take some block party cards, throw a block party, and start reading your Bible on what Jesus says about being a good neighbor, and that'll help you want to throw a block party all that much more. Deal? If you guys need coffee, please drink some, because kind of quiet, kind of lethargic. So we're going to start. I can always count on Joel. Joel, you just scared everyone in here, or woke them up, and I appreciate that. So in John 16, we're going to start with verse 16, and this is Jesus talking, and it'll be on the screen behind me, but he says this. We're going to read it all the way to the end through 33. You ready? Jesus says this, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me." Some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us?" And then I assume that the disciples threw up quote marks like this. "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will see me, and again a little while, or you won't see me, and again a little while, you will see me. And because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, "Is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Verse 21, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Now, I need to stop there. I've asked my wife about this verse, if it's true. She said, absolutely not. I remember everything. I was right next to her side, our firstborn, and it was like, what, 24 hours for Thaddeus? You've been a pain in our side ever since. I'm just kidding. But 24 hours of birth with Thaddeus, and she had this syndrome, this help syndrome, where they didn't want to do an epidural on her because her blood pressure and white blood cells and whatever, all out of whack. And they said, well, if we give you this, it's bad for you, it's bad for the baby. And finally, after hours and hours of me watching her scream and squirm, they gave her this epidural and she fell asleep. She remembered all of that, every piece. So I'm not saying Jesus is a liar, but Jesus never had a kid or had to give birth. All right, so here we go. That's a little sidetrack, sorry. So, where are we? What verse are we in? Help me out. 22, thank you. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into this world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, aha, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said all of these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So this is the last few hours of Jesus' life. He's hanging out with his disciples in this house, this upper room, and they're having this conversation. And within this conversation, Jesus continues to point, like he has always done throughout John, that he's going to be leaving, he's going to be going. He keeps foreshadowing his death and saying, look, things are going to happen. They're going to come and take me. I've already been ratted out by Judas. And they're going to come take me, and they're going to come kill me. And you guys are going to desert me. And you guys are going to be sad. But the world will be happy. And as we learned in the 2 weeks ago, that the world was anyone that's hostile towards the cause of Christ. Those people are going to rejoice because Jesus is dead, because they're not for him. They're not with his message. They're not understanding that he's actually from God. That he's actually God. But then as we learned last week, Jesus said, it's a good thing for you if I go, as he's telling them all these things. It's a good thing for you if I go, because if I don't, then this Holy Spirit that I will send to you will not come. If I'm here, he can't be here. But if I'm gone, he will come. I will send him to you. And so Jesus is saying all of these things, and the disciples are a little bit confused. I don't get what you're saying, Jesus. I don't understand what you're talking about. This is a little weird. And so we get the pleasure of unpacking weirdness together. Woo! So Jesus, we read this verse, and there's some key things. You know, look, I'm going away. You're not going to understand it. You're going to be scattered all over the place. You're not going to get it. But then he talks about this relationship with he and his Father, and he talks about this relationship that I'm going back to him, I'm going back to him, and you don't ask things in my name right now. And the reason he's saying these things, and this verse is really misconstrued a lot because it says, whatever you ask in my name, right, I'll do. God, I need a Porsche in my driveway. God, filet mignon is awesome, please. I'd like 20 of those in my freezer. Do you freeze that stuff or do you just eat it fresh? I don't know how that works. God, please bless me with a trip to Disney World. Or it can be a little more serious of God, you know, my family member's dying. Please don't let them die. And so we pray these things, and some of these things come true, and some of these come true, like it's a wish. Some of these things come to fruition as we pray these things. Some of these things that we ask of Jesus come true, but this isn't what this verse is talking about. There's actually two different forms of ask. There's a petitioning that we see used in reference to Jesus actually petitioning his Father for us. And then there's this asking, because they never had to ask Jesus for these things when they were walking with him. Jesus was there to explain these things that he's talking about. Jesus is there to give witness to the things that he's saying and doing. And so they didn't have questions necessarily that Jesus couldn't answer. So Jesus, and then sending this Holy Spirit like we learned about last week, this helper that guides us, that corrects us, that speaks truth on all things from God. This Holy Spirit's going to come, and we no longer need Jesus physically here. We need this Holy Spirit that's going to answer these things for us, that's going to give us this truth, that's going to lead us to these things, that's going to make sense of the world around us. It's going to make sense of our place in the world around us. It's going to make sense in our place in bringing the kingdom in the world around us. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about give your wish list to God and he's going to grant all these things because Jesus is praying for it with you. So you go from that, and then you go to this, I'm going to be leaving. I'm gone. And then he leaves us with this last verse. I've said all these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Does anyone believe that this morning? You can give feedback as to why or why not. No one. Or everybody believes it? Tough room. Did I ask a really hard question? Do you believe that Jesus has overcome the world? There's some honesty. Sometimes. Do you believe, after hearing about Baton Rouge, Minnesota, and Dallas, and even our presidential candidates, that Jesus has overcome the world? Does anybody not? It's okay. We've left our pitchforks and torches at home. We won't run you out of here. But for me, sometimes this is a hard thing to swallow, because I want to look at these externals. I want to look at all these things that are going on in my world around me and say, God, you know what? You haven't done anything to make this place better. This world is torn apart. This world sets person against person, family member against family member. This is tough to swallow, that you've overcome the world, that you're actually working in this world. No one else struggles with this but me. It's so easy to misread some of this stuff. It's so easy to just read over this stuff and gloss over this stuff or just really hone in and totally miss the whole purpose of all of this. I have overcome the world. This is your source of joy. This is your source of, what does he say? Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered to each his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I always skip the tribulation part. Anybody else? You what? You just want to skip the tribulation part. I always skip that part. God, I love peace. I love joy. I love the idea that you overcame the world, but man, tribulation, wait a minute. And that's what Jesus is saying, is this whole relationship with Jesus changes. Jesus is walking with these people. Jesus is talking with these people. Jesus is training these people. Jesus is talking with his disciples and training them up and saying, look, I'm going to be leaving now. I'm going to be going, and this is going to change everything for you. This is going to change your very existence. This is going to change how you operate as I leave and this Holy Spirit comes. And that first change in this relationship is this no longer needing to have Jesus right there to ask these questions to. God, what about this? Jesus, what about this? And that's not that we don't have questions. But it's this beautiful thing called the Holy Spirit that is indwelling us, that is able to answer these questions that we have, that is able to speak to our condition, that is able to point us towards this truth. This is big news. Jesus is not here to do this anymore. But hey, there's something better that's going to be with you constantly, all the time, everywhere you go. And just like we talked about, Holy Spirit, I love you enough. Jesus, I love you enough. That I'm going to be sensitive and listen to the Holy Spirit and what you have to say. Not only am I going to listen, but I'm going to do what you say. So this is a beautiful flip with this relationship with Jesus. And this is what Jesus is talking about with these disciples. Things are going to change. And that first change in that relationship is a source of joy is reflected. And they're no longer needing to ask Jesus questions. And the second is, in the change of this relationship, will be their sharing in Jesus' work. As a pastor of the last 8 years, I've only been a pastor 8 years, okay? I don't know how it's done all that well. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I feel like a dog that's been let off a leash and then he just runs. I've seen my dog hit the wall sometimes. I've seen my dog like fall down sometimes. This is me. This is Pastor Adam. And at the very beginning of this ministry, this calling that I heard from God that I need to be here with my family, and we needed to come to Laramie, and we needed to start this church that started in a living room. I was naive, and I didn't understand what it meant. And then as time progressed within this church, and as we grew, and as we kept growing, and as God kept moving this church in different ways, some things really started to begin to hurt in my world, because God was wanting change from within me. God was wanting change from within my ideas of what this place should be, what Whitewater should be. God was wanting change with, look, man, you've got a very self-minded view of what I'm going to be doing here in Laramie, and I need to beat that out of you in the next few years. And what I didn't understand was it was very much what Jesus is doing here in John, is this invitation. Look, I'm leaving, I'm bringing you the Holy Spirit, and this is changing your relationship with me. This is changing your relationship with the God that you say you love. This is changing your relationship, thus changing how your life moves forward from here in the kingdom. I'm inviting you into the work that I'm doing. I'm inviting you in to do what I've done. And again, I love to gloss over the parts where Jesus endured any kind of pain or misery. I love to gloss over the part where all the mobs took up against him and wanted to kill him. I wanted to ignore all of these things. And then it always comes back around with Jesus and me. And he said, look at my life and tell me that you deserve better than that as a disciple of me, as a follower of me. Tell me what your life should look like then. It should be easy. That there won't be any suffering or tribulation. And I don't like to acknowledge that part of Christianity. I don't like to acknowledge the part where life change begins to happen in me. And people that used to call me a friend would abandon me. I don't like to acknowledge that. I don't like to acknowledge that as Jesus and the Holy Spirit starts doing its work in me, that other people that say they love Jesus would look at me as a lesser than because of the way Jesus has spoken to me and has me ministering here in Laramie, Wyoming. I don't like to acknowledge that pain. I don't like to acknowledge when I'm doing wrong by my children or my wife. And God nudges me and says, man, you are way off. I always like to be right in those relationships. Anybody else? You guys are a bunch of liars. I always like to be right in these relationships. I always like to feel that my anger is justified. I always like to feel that my way of life is the way. And it always hurts when God puts those things in check. And it comes back continually. Man, look at my life and look at yours and tell me what you deserve more than what I've done for you, more than what I've given you, more than what I've given the world. Tell me how your life should be better than that or more comfortable than that. And this isn't saying that Christianity is just this grueling, terrible thing. Okay? It's not. We get our peace from Jesus. We get our joy from Jesus. But so often we misplace it in these externals. Whether our life, our family life's going well, whether our job is going well, whether we don't have to lose anyone in our family, whether we, you know, it's all of these different things. And then when they come about, we're just blindsided, like, whoa, whoa. This shouldn't happen to me. I shouldn't have to face any of these things. And yet Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. But I've overcome that. I've overcome this world. I've overcome these people that are putting me to death. I've overcome this sin, this death. I've overcome this relationship that God once had with you. I've bridged this gap so that you can have the same relationship that I have with my Father. That's what Jesus continually says. I've bridged this gap. I've done these things for you. This door is open to you. This invitation is open to you to join in the work that I'm doing. This is a total game changer. This is a different relationship we live in. You need to identify it. You need to understand it. You need to know it. And these questions, like we will all have, I'm not saying we won't have questions, but this Holy Spirit that lives within us will answer these questions. God, why did the shootings happen this week? Better yet, God, what are you trying to tell us by this? Better yet, God, these things that are happening in the world around us don't look like the kingdom, and that's the Holy Spirit within you saying, look, this isn't kingdom. And it shouldn't stop there. It should be like, okay, then what is my role here then? If this doesn't look like the kingdom in my world, how do I bring this about? Because God invited you into this bringing about of the kingdom. God invited you into this relationship of being his hands and feet. And instead of focusing on the situations, we should be asking those questions. God, this is discipleship. I'm in it. And I want to bring about something different. I want to bring about your kingdom here on earth. And these are the things that Jesus is talking about. You're not going to come out of this unscarred. You're not going to come out of this just like I didn't come out of this unscarred. But I tell you these things that you may have peace. I tell you these things because you know how this ends. You know the ending. Jesus wins. I tell you these things because I am inviting you into this life of being a disciple, of bringing the kingdom here on earth, that others may then have peace. That others then may know this joy. Seems like a big task for us, doesn't it? You didn't realize there was work involved in saying yes to Jesus, huh? I didn't for a long time. I just viewed it as I got out of hell and I'm good to go. Next week, you're going to hear this beautiful prayer from Jesus. It's an entire chapter, 17, dedicated to this prayer that Jesus prays over his disciples. After he tells them, I've changed all the rules. I've changed how you and I interact. He prays over them. He prays for them. He prays for us. And Craig will be teaching that, and I'm sad that I'm going to miss it. We're going to be at church camp. But this is this life that Jesus calls us into. And I don't want to spin it for anything that it's not, because it is joyful. It is peaceful. Even in the midst of the crappiest situations. As this Holy Spirit ministers to you, as this Holy Spirit speaks to you and answers these terrifying questions of why, God, why this tribulation? Why this in my life? Why? God, we love you. And it's hard to unpack your truth sometimes. It's hard to give hope. When you start talking about the reality of discipleship and the reality of some of the things that we are asked to leave behind. God, but this beautiful interaction that you've had with your disciples and the intimacy that is opened up because of the life you've lived and the life that you chose when you were obedient to all that your Father asked of you, God, you opened up this beautiful, intimate relationship with you and with Him. God, that we might hear from God, that we might hear from you with understanding. God, and that when we pray and when we ask things of you, that with this Holy Spirit inside of us, it would be on par with your purpose. God, so much about this relationship with you, so much about this new relationship that Jesus opened up is about listening. Unless we listen, we'll neither receive insight into Jesus or his revelation that he speaks of within Scripture. God, we want to be in tune with that. We want to be in tune with this new relationship. We want to be in tune with this peace that you speak of. We want to be in tune with this peace, even though the world is in tribulation, even though there are all these trials around us, even though there is all this mess. God, you died. You came again. You rose. You sent the Holy Spirit just as you said you would. God, that we may take heart, knowing that you have overcome the world, knowing that you've done and did everything that you set out to do. So God, again, as we continue to count the cost of what it looks like to follow you, God, I pray for those that share my story and didn't understand what they were getting into at first. And now you're just starting to shake us up. You're just starting to stir within us this purpose, this life change, this life that you actually did call us into within us. God, and through that, I just pray for the obedience of these people. And my obedience when we hear you speak. God, we're grateful that 2,000 plus years later, you're still calling people, you're still teaching this truth, you're still very relevant. You're still the Savior of the world. You're still the hope that everyone needs. You're still the peace that everyone needs. You're still the life that everyone needs. So God, make us good listeners. God, let us understand this life that you've called us into. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.